Hey there, this is Tolly Wilgus with Paradise Church. We're so glad you're checking us out. This is one great way for us to share with you all that God is doing here in Baltimore and around the world. We hope that you're encouraged, equipped, and inspired to be the man or woman that God designed you to be. Welcome to Paradise.
So the other day, many of you joined us, and we went to a corn maze. And in this corn maze, it's you know, you're out in the middle of a field, and the Beachmont Christian Ministries, they do it upright, and we're out in the middle of this field, and I've gone, you'd have thought I wouldn't have this problem, but I've gone to many, many corn mazes, even at this particular location. But you would get there and thought that was the very first time I had ever gone to a corn maze. We get inside, and we're about, I don't know, 20, 30 yards in, and I looked at my group, and I go, "Oh, none of us have flashlights." And I'll just go ahead and tell you something. A corn maze is different when you have a flashlight versus if you don't have a flashlight, okay? And there had been a birthday group of little seven-year-olds running around that went in with us, like 30 of them, and then our group kind of all went into the maze around the same time. Well, at the beginning, people get turned around and go in this and that direction. And sure enough, I look up, we're not too far in, and there are 30 little monsters, I mean, little kids that are having their flashlights shining right into our face because they're walking the other direction. And I'm hearing people behind me say, "Hey, put the flashlights down, flashlights on the ground." And I'm like, "At least you have a flashlight." And so I'm going through the maze and I'm realizing, like, I fundamentally failed at the first step of doing a corn maze. I don't have any light. And so then my experience was vastly different than it was in other years where I brought a flashlight. Because now I'm relying on the light of people next to me. I'm relying, even when I heard that there was some guy named Ben up in a tower, I just started screaming his name aimlessly and waving my flag and saying, "Dan, light up the path. Where am I?" And so that's how I got through this maze, was I began to ask for Dan to give me some help. And so here's Dan with the big spotlight up in the sky, and he's pointing down around the way. And you got these little kids that would come by every once in a while. And I'm just trying to get by off of everybody else's light. And I'm sure that you can understand where we might be going today. And so today, as we are in our series, Glow in the Dark, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I want us to look at the light that is in us. Because here's the deal. There's a way that we can live the Christian life, and there's a way that we can pick up from everybody else's light around us. And so we go and go, "Oh, you're walking with the Lord." Like, "Oh, that, man, that's good." And so I pick up a little energy from that. And then I'll go over here and I talk to somebody else, and, "Oh, you're deep in prayer about this. Oh, man, that's exciting." I'll pick up some energy from that. And I can walk around the Christian life, and I can get in your light and get in your light, and eventually piece it together and kind of get through the maze of this life. Or I could come with my own light. But you know what happens to us as Christ followers is that we get the salvation, we get dunked in the water, we get the stuff, and we get into the Christian walk. And before long, we don't really know. Our bright light when we first gave our lives to Christ, when we were first ready to give and serve and do it all, that bright light starts to dim over time. But I don't know if you've ever had your headlights dimmed, especially the old school version, like it before they go out, you don't quite notice that things are just getting less and less bright. And so for us, a lot of times we can ask ourselves, "Man, where's my light? Where is the light? Am I really bringing it to the table?" And as a community, here's the thing, a community, a whole church body, it is so vital that your light and my light are both on. Otherwise, what happens is, as a whole community, if we're just depending on a few faithful people to be bringing that light, if we're just depending on a few faithful people around us to have a great walk with Jesus, then what happens is the rest of us, we're all dependent on the same few, and we're not bringing our light to the table. So where is our light? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 33, and here's what it says. "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Everybody say, so that. So that. There is purpose to it. Look at verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. So we got this illustration. Nobody ever puts the light under a basket. Nobody ever puts it in a cellar. You take the light and you put it in a place to where others might be able to see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful. Everybody say careful. Careful. Be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. You see, this passage walks through a common illustration in the day, and they would understand that if you had to light a lantern, if you had to light a light, they didn't have the ability to flip a switch and have the whole house light up. They didn't have lights on the street that when they walk down the road, they can see their path. And so if you wanted to get around in the dark, you literally had to make sure that your personal light would be able to be seen, to be on. You had your own light. And if you had your own light and you were expecting company, you were expecting people over and it's dark outside, the illustration is you don't take your light and hide it. You don't take your light and put it in the cellar. No, no, no. You put it at a place where it could be seen so that that light could be seen by many other people. And from that illustration of what do we do with our own real light, then it goes in to talk about our eye. And that's what I want us to dive into today. When we talk about glowing in the dark, where is our light? Verse 33, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in the cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Everybody say, see the light. See the light. The reality is that there's a lost and dying world around us, and they have to be able to see the light of Jesus. And if our lights aren't on, how are they supposed to see this Jesus that we know? But many Christ followers have convinced ourselves that it's fine because, oh, I know God. And so the thing is, with my faith, it's just about me and God. But it's not, church. Like, it's not. The whole point is not just about that you know God. Great. I'm excited for that. You should be excited. You could turn to your neighbor and be excited for them too. But the point is that the reason that you have a light is so that others might see the light too. And we get comfortable and it's so easy. We're in a society right now, pretty much have you had this experience? Pretty much anything that goes wrong right now, people are going, well, you know, COVID. And it's just like, hey, well, how come, you know, this isn't working? Well, you know, COVID. It's like, no, I don't know. Like, we can move on now. We can stop making an excuse. Like, we can get back to doing things properly. Like, everything's not a COVID problem. Some of it's just us problem. Some of it's just an effort problem. And so for us, we as a church, we got to make sure that we're saying, you know what, Lord, you want us to have the light of Jesus in us, not just for us. It's great that it's for us. It's great that we know God. That's wonderful. But you have a purpose to making sure that I have the light inside of me. And that purpose is so that others might see the light of Jesus too. If you jot notes down, write this down. We glow on purpose so the world could know the light of Christ. We glow on purpose. You have a purpose. And that is so that the world can see the light of Jesus. It is not a moral imperative just for the sake of morality. It is not a do's and don'ts for the sake of legalism. You and I have the light of Christ in us. We're supposed to have the light of Christ in us because there's a purpose to it. That our light shines so that other people may see the Jesus behind the light. But you know what happens? A lot of us, we all, and I'm guilty of this at times as well, the preacher's never an exception, all of us, we can get comfortable with who we are, how we're moving, what we're thinking, what we're watching, what we're bringing into our lives. And what happens is that suddenly that light gets dimmer and we go, well, it's okay. My whole religion, my whole faith is just that I know Jesus. Satan can't rob you of your salvation, but he can certainly convince you to be useless to the kingdom. Satan can't rob you of your salvation. Satan can't come in and just say, hey, Todd, you don't know Christ anymore, you're gone. It's not a power of him. But what he can do is he's the great deceiver. He's the father of all lies, the Bible said. He's the prince of the power of this air. And so what Satan can do is say, Tala, you know, it's really not important that you shine your light that bright. It's really just about a relationship with you and God. And honestly, if you just kind of keep it to yourself, that'd all be better because there's people that really don't want to hear what you have to say anyway. And so really, your faith really should just be kind of like once in a while, once a week, where if you feel like you're distant from God, go ahead and grab your Bible, read something real quick, get caught up, and then let's move on. Your faith doesn't have to play a central role in your existence. And as a result, the enemy of God can turn around and say, hey, Tali, why don't you just kind of pipe down a little bit? Why don't you not live very bright? Why don't you not think about others too much? Why don't you not think about and process your day and how your life, your actions, your attitude, your words, the way you walk into a room, the way you walk out of a room, don't process any of that, Tali. Just you do you. You do you and let everybody else deal with them. And you know, the flesh would tell you and the flesh would tell me, like, man, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. I mean, as long as I know Jesus and I'm not going to hell, I shouldn't care about how I handle others. I shouldn't care about if my light extends. I shouldn't care if I love with my words and my actions. I really shouldn't care because it's really all about me and Jesus, of course. And so the scriptures are like, you know what? No, here's the illustration that he's about to remember. He's about to take this illustration and then apply it to our own eyesight, our own lives, our own spiritual lives. But what is the illustration that he's applying? The illustration is that you have light for a purpose. And that purpose is that other people would see that light. You don't have the light of Christ just for yourself. And if you do, you and I can look at our own calendar, we can look at our own schedule, we can look at our checkbook, we're coming to the end of another year. We can look at our taxes, and we can look around and just go, man, what did I do with the time that was given to me? What's my calendar say? What did I do with the resources that were given to me and my family? What does the checkbook say? What did I do with my relationships? What is my call record, my cell phone, or my text messages? How many people are on that chain that changed from last year to this year because I'm making an effort to share the light of Christ? How about the topics that are inside the text chain? Are the topics at all about the light of Christ? About how God is good? About how we're praying for people and helping others? And so it's important that we're honest about it and say, hey, you know what? There is a light in me, but it's not in me just to stay with me. Jesus didn't save you to hide your light. Jesus didn't give you a new life just for you to be a spiritual cul-de-sac. Jesus lit your lamp so that you could shine. Do those who enter your presence see the light of Christ? And you have to ask yourself, how so or how not? And that'll help you to be able to grow in your faith and say, Lord, you've given me the light of Christ. I want to use it. It's not about being good. It's not about pretending. It's not even about representing a church name or a logo. That's not what it's about. We glow in the dark so that people will see Jesus. A simple question to ask yourself, could anybody see Jesus in me? Could anybody see Jesus in me? Maybe in how I handled a situation differently. Was I more prayerful? Was I more humble? Did I complain like everybody else complains? Did I whine and cry? Did I make a big stink? And is it okay? Do people see Jesus in me? Or do they see a lot of me and they've got to scratch really hard to find Jesus? And listen, all of us are this way. like I said, coming out of COVID, 18 months, it's so easy for us to just say, man, I gotta work those muscles again. I gotta work that faith muscle. Because the faith muscle, it doesn't get worked when things are comfortable. The faith muscle only gets worked in adversity. The faith muscle only gets worked when I'm praying for a friend to meet Jesus. The faith muscle only works when I'm praying that we would see the seats of a building filled so that they can all hear about Jesus. But are those faith muscles, have they atrophied in any way? And only, here's the thing, the beautiful thing about a church is that a church is just simply a collection of a lot of individuals. And so for the church of the living God to grow and to have that faith muscle exercise, then it's really just a lot of individuals saying, Lord, I'm willing to look inside and I'm willing to see, how am I doing? I don't have to look to the left or the right. I don't have to point fingers. I don't have to think about other people. I just need to say, man, Lord, how am I doing with the light you've put in me? The light wasn't given to me just for me. The light was given to shine so that other people could see Jesus. So then verse 34, it goes in to ask the question, what stops us from glowing in the dark? Okay, good, I got it. I'm supposed to glow in the dark so that other people see Jesus. And yeah, I'm sure I could make a do's and a don'ts or a have and a have and have not. And I can go through and I could figure out, okay, that's where I'm at. I could be honest about where I am with how much light I'm shedding. But what are the things that stop us? Look at verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Your eye, when your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Be careful. This is the point of this passage. Be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Darkness. So your eye, if you write this down, we reflect the light we receive. We can only give out what we've been put in. We reflect the light we receive. And so this passage is saying, listen, you're supposed to be the light and your light's supposed to shine so that other people see Jesus. And we're like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, I don't know if it has been or hasn't been, but I agree with the point that my light is supposed to shine so that people see Jesus. I should have an abundant love so that people go, man, something different about that guy. I should handle situations differently so that people go, man, something's different about that guy. And so what I should have is the light of Christ that's shining out. We all agree, okay, good, I get that. I get that. The light of Christ should go out. People should see Jesus in my life. But here's the second part. It goes in and says, your eye is the lamp of your body. What do you do if the light that you're supposed to be bringing into your life is actually darkness? So this discussion is like, that, hey, we only reflect what you receive. What are we taking in? What am I taking in, light or darkness? I've shared this with you before, many of you know this, but we don't actually see objects. We see the light that's reflected off of objects. Our optic nerve is actually just simply bringing in light. And the amount of light that we're bringing in allows it to illuminate the objects around us. But if your eyes are not healthy, that's when vision problems happen. And then your actions, look at this, your life and your actions have to be manipulated based on the room, because if you're not receiving enough light, suddenly you have to slow down and you can't be as assertive because you don't know where things are. You don't know how things work. You don't know. You don't want to bump and trip and fall. And so as a result, your physical actions change based on the light that you're bringing into your body. And so it's no different in the spiritual realm. The illustration is here and clear to say, you know what, Tali? If you're not bringing in enough light, then your actions will change and you will live a life of darkness because you're not bringing in the light of Christ. And you go, but I know the light of Christ. Like, I met him when I was 9 and 10 and 12, and I went to Sunday school, and I went to a church camp. In my case, I went to a Christian college. That was then. This is now. And if I'm not bringing in the light of Christ on a regular basis, if I'm not filling my mind and my soul with the things of God, if I'm not doing that, then my physical actions will be no different than if I walked into a dark theater. I will physically change what I'm doing for others and around others because I don't have enough light to see how things are supposed to be. And so I'll end up taking in darkness, thinking that I'm bringing in the light. The average American, I looked these up this week, and it's on the internet, so it's got to be true. The average American listens to 2.5 hours of music per day, or 18 hours of music a week. We watch television for 4 hours a day, or 28 hours a week. Again, it's average. It could be more, it could be less. We spend 3 hours and 45 minutes a day on our cell phones. That's definitely more for me. We're exposed to around 4,000 to 10,000 advertisements each day. I mean, when you look through this in your life and ask yourself, if this is even half true, and I am taking in data, I'm taking in content, I'm taking in movies, and all of this is really just digital stuff. This doesn't even say anything about the type of friends that I keep in my life. It doesn't say anything about whether or not I have positive or negative family members that I'm around. It doesn't say anything about the thoughts that I'm absorbing from my coworkers or from my clients at my place of employment. But if I'm going through life and I'm soaking in all of this content, how much of it is coming from the light? And if my content that I'm bringing in, if my music that I'm listening to is filled with songs that are not of the light, and if what I'm watching is not stuff that is helpful for the light, and if I'm tweeting and watching Instagram and they're not of the light, this is hours of my life being consumed. And so therefore, the light that I'm supposed to be bringing into my life, if it's not there, I start to portray darkness as if it is light. Because all I'm doing is saying, well, this is what I've seen and observed and heard. And if you don't think, here's the thing, this is the weird thing about us, right? Like we all say, well, I'm an adult. I can, you know, fill my brain with all this content and I can turn right around and be just fine because I'm an adult and I know better. But yet, if we're sad, we'll turn on a certain song to match our mood. If we're happy, we'll turn on a certain song to match our mood. Why? Because we know that the content itself changes or sustains our attitude of how we're living. Or if we want to get into a certain mood. I know I run to beach music. I run to calm stuff because I live amped up so much that I know I need, man, I want to turn this on because I'm trying to get my head somewhere. Well, listen, if we'll do that when we're intentional, what do you think that the content producers are doing to our minds and our hearts every day if we're not intentional? What does the scripture say? It says, verse 35, therefore what? Be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Not judging you, not judging me. But we're many of us, almost all of us, we're adults. Are we careful? Are we careful or are we careless about the content that we're bringing into our minds and our eyes and ears on a daily basis? And we say, well, this is crazy stuff. This is fundamentalist and legalist. No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying, are we bringing in enough of the light in a given week? If we were to be legitimate in writing down the hours or the minutes of the content that we're bringing in of the light, Bible study, scripture, worship, prayer, are we bringing in anywhere close to the amount of darkness that we allow to come into our lives? And how can we turn around to a lost and dying world and proclaim that we have the light when that light's not even satisfying us throughout the week? And so the reality is, it's not about beating anybody up or putting anybody down. It's about all of us just simply saying, this is the word of God. Like God has called us to share the light. But one of the reasons that we're probably not sharing the light is that we're not filled with the light. And we're comfortable in being not filled with the light of Christ. And so what if the reason that we're not shining the light of Christ is because we're overwhelmed by darkness? What if that we're overwhelmed by the same problems that everybody else in the world is overwhelmed by? What if the stresses that stress us also stress the rest of the world, and there's not much difference? What if? And what if the inner voice, the inner monologue that goes on in our day-to-day life, what if that inner voice is actually programmed by all the hours of content that we're consuming and not programmed by the Holy Spirit? What if? And what if we could change that? What if we could be careful and fill our lives with the light of Jesus? There's truth to that expression, garbage in, garbage out. And we have to be mindful. Am I doing what it takes to bring in the light? Am I doing what it takes to bring in the light? So then we get to verse 36. It says this, if your whole body is full of light, meaning your eyes have been bringing in the light, you've been seeing the light, you've been walking with Jesus, you've been praying, you've been having a conversation with God, you've been looking at the scriptures, you've been praying for other people, you take that extra $5 and $10 and you help people in need, like you're full of light. If the whole body is full of light, having no part dark, meaning you've been careful, you've been watching, what am I bringing into my life? It will be wholly bright. You'll bring your own light to the maze of life. For as when a lamp with its rays gives you light, you'll be that person. If you're careful, if you're mindful, if you understand that you're not above bringing darkness into your life, and so therefore you've got to be careful, and that the eyes and the ears, you're bringing that stuff in, and if you would be careful with your week, your 40-hour work week, plus the rest of the other time of day, 16 hours you have beyond that, if that would happen for you, then you will be bright. You will be the one, like that little kid. You see, that little kid didn't have as many advantages I had. I've had an education. I'm older. I've been through that maze a lot. I mean, I have a master's degree. I mean, come on, little kid. Like, who's better here at the corn maze than me? And you know what? This little kid who's 6 or 7 years old is able to just shine their light. And all of the things that I would say are advantageous to me, they go away if I don't have the light. And so suddenly, a person with a simple faith that is filled with the light of Jesus is able to turn that light on and see this world so much more clearly than me with a master's degree and a lot of years and a lot of age and a lot of experience. Because if I don't have the light of Christ living in me and working out of me, and that little kid that just trusted Jesus for his day, prayed before he ate, and trusts God with his life like a child, is closer to the source of all light than I am. And you and I, we've got to be careful. If you're jotting notes, write this down. We develop a shine when we discipline our mind. We develop that shine when we discipline our mind. How do we discipline our mind? Philippians 4:8 says this. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, and parenthetical sisters, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about what? These things. Think about these things. Let's go through that list again. Am I glowing or not? Am I thinking about things that are true? Am I thinking about things that are honorable? Is my eyesight, am I open to things that are just, or just meaning right in God's eyes? Am I thinking about things that are pure? Am I having pure thoughts? Am I putting pure thoughts into my head? Am I thinking about things that are lovely? Am I thinking about things that are commendable? Am I thinking on things that are excellent, the way God designed them to be? How about things that are praiseworthy? putting things and objects and people into my life and voices and stories into my life that would go, you know what, that honors God. Praiseworthy. You see, the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Look, we're to glow on purpose so that people can see Jesus. We often go dark because we take in too much dark. We have to shine by disciplining our mind. We can take every thought captive, bring it into the light, and then turn around and glow in the dark. But you and I have to understand how that process works. Our light will go dim unless we're constantly bringing in the light. Am I in prayer on a regular basis? Am I opening up the Word? Am I filling my mind and heart with songs of praise, whether they be hymns or modern or whatever? Am I bringing in the light? Am I having conversations that edify and build up in Christ? Or am I gossiping and talking down and negative? Am I walking into a room and making it brighter? Or am I walking into the room and making everybody less? And so you and I, we should be glowing in the dark. But the way we do it is if we'll discipline our mind and be careful and bring in more light. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we don't have to go through this world blind. We don't have to go through this world in a dark place. But Father, that we get to walk through this world with the light of Christ, illuminating everything, illuminating every situation, every circumstance. God, the very circumstances that we just ask that you change, God, that if we had your light, we might not have gotten into those places. We might have been able to see further and faster. We might have been able to see where we should turn. Instead, Father, many of us, we fill our minds with darkness and we fill our days and our weeks and we're just getting by and we're not really living out the light of Christ, and therefore we can't really see. No different than a corn maze without a flashlight. And Father, I just pray that each one of us this week, we would put into practice taking every thought captive to the mind of Christ. That God, we might think about how we're stacking up our days. Are we adding more time for Jesus? Are we adding more time to love others? Are we taking every thought captive to the mind of Christ so that we can have the light of Christ inside of us, ready to shine it out to others? Because God, many times we'll be glad to just turn around and say what we think out loud and turn around and treat people how we want. But Father, it may not be from you. It might be that we filled what should be filled with light, we filled with darkness, and therefore we're spilling out things that just aren't of you. And so, Father, I pray that this week what we would do is be humble enough to lay out our schedules, lay out our resources, our finances, lay out our time and our communication, lay out our phones and text messages, and just ask you, God, to reveal to us any darkness. God, help us to get rid of the darkness so that we can shine your light. Help us to walk with you and pray and pray with others. And God, just take every thought captive to the mind of Christ, so that this world can see the light of Jesus in us. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the light of Christ. Help us to go this week and demonstrate it to others. We thank you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Can we thank him for his word, church? Come on now.